You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, we're back on another edition of Processing Blue. My man Scott Fowler back from Seattle. What did you see in Seattle, Scott? I don't want to put words in your mouth. What did you see from the scene in Seattle?
Well, I saw a lot of false starts, number one.
yeah, eight of them, right?
Eight false starts. I've seen 300 or 400 NFL games at this point in person. I've lost count. And there's always something new in almost every game. And that one, I had never seen eight false starts. That was pretty unprecedented, even in that noise environment. You know, the Panthers have played there before and playoff games that have been even louder and not had. I mean, eight false starts was the most in the NFL in 12 years. So that was number one. But, you know, it was an exciting game. Yeah.
Wait, say that. How many years?
Last dozen years, most false starts in the NFL.
Wow. Would you excuse any of those to noise? Like, would you allow two or three to go because of noise?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you go in there and have two or three, that's par for the course. To have seven, four of which were on Ike Ekwonu, that's kind of sad. That speaks to a lot of problems in an offensive line. And two on Taylor Moton. Who's, you know, an extremely well-played veteran player, too. So the two tackles had six of the seven on the offensive line. So that was bad. Nevertheless, they scored 27 points, which was as much as they scored in the first two games combined. Again, they were in the game until the fourth quarter. So that wasn't like they're getting, you know, they didn't get beat 70-20 like Denver did. They didn't get beat 41-10 like Chicago did. Nevertheless, they were, you know, they lost and they're 0-3.
If you made those eight false starts, three false starts, did they win the football game?
Probably. I don't think so. I mean, I think that Seattle ultimately just was a little better, but they might have scored a few more points. Maybe it would be 37-34, something like that. But I think they had enough problems that even with the false starts, they probably don't win.
Are you noticing a pattern with the defense wearing down in the second half, particularly against the run? Is that something that you're seeing in person as you watch these games?
For sure, Langston. This game, they gave up 25 points in the second half, and these were pretty legitimate points. It wasn't like somebody gave them the ball at the 10 because of a turnover. The offense, I will say this, the offense didn't have a turnover all day and all that crowd noise. So these were legitimate drives, and they did wear down, and they have the last 2 weeks. And this is partly because the offense hasn't stayed on the field, but they stayed on it more often in this game. And still, I thought there was some defensive issues. So this is not an offensive issue only thing, although that's, I'm sure, what we'll mostly talk about, and that's the sexier part of it probably, but defensively, they haven't gotten the big strip sack. They haven't gotten the cheap touchdown. They haven't gotten these plays that they really need to win a game.
And they've also had a lot of injuries. And Mike Kay has said all along that they're top heavy defensively without a lot of depth. So if you have a lot of injuries, then you're going into depth, which isn't necessarily there. And I think that may play into why they wear down a little bit. But let's talk about that offense a little bit. Bryce Young played the first two games. As you pointed out, they didn't score as many points, didn't move the ball as well. And then Andy Dalton comes in this week, and they do much better on the road. Why was the Panthers' offense so much different with Andy Dalton running it versus Bryce Young running it?
It's an interesting question, and I think a few things I'll make a point of, Langston. First of all, let's not forget the team on the other side. Seattle's defense was the worst of the three that they have faced. Bryce had played that defense, he would have thrown for 250 or 300 yards. Andy Dalton threw for 361. Andy Dalton probably at this point gets the ball out a little more quickly, although that's something that Bryce did well in Alabama. But I thought Dalton is quick. I mean, makes a fast decision, got a lot of completions. He is not as mobile as Bryce. So fortunately, I thought their pass, you know, their offensive line did okay on pass pro, pass protection, because he didn't get sacked that often.
But three times.
Three times, and he, you know, dropped back 60. So that's not terrible. He threw 58, which is a career high. So I think, you know, in Seattle, that was probably a coin flip as to which one of them would have been played better, honestly, whether it would be Bryce or if he was healthy or Andy. But I totally agree with the fact there's no quarterback controversy here. Whether or not Andy Dalton might win a game or not versus Bryce right now, the future is Bryce, and you have to put him in there starting this weekend against Minnesota if he's healthy. He has to play every game, because that is the way to get him better and to see if you've made the right choice here or not. So, you know, will he play this weekend? I think they'll be careful, but I think it'd be more likely that he'll play because it's a home game, not a short week. My guess, my gut right now, is that he will play Sunday versus Minnesota.
Interesting choice of words there. You said make the right choice. Looking back on it, the Panthers had a choice between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. Tell me what you've seen so far with both, and did the Panthers make the right choice?
Well, you can't make a decision on that after three games, but I will say the early returns have not been real promising for the Panthers. C.J. Stroud is coming to the league with a thunderclap, really. He's thrown for a bunch of yards. I don't think he has a pick yet. They're not winning that often. I think they've won one game, but he has played. He has looked the part very much. And Bryce has been okay. He's not been terrible, but he's lost twice, and then he got hurt by the third game and missed that game. That is not good, because durability has always been one of the questions with Bryce Young's body type, 5'10", right, and generously listed at 204 weight. He's just not the prototype of that. So, this is going to be one that's going to be debated for a long time. We can't even make the decision really as to which one was the right call after the first year, because you don't know after the first year. Probably will know after a couple of years. But they've harnessed themselves to Bryce Young now, so they darn better well hope that this was the right call.
Well, I thought the injury he suffered, he got rolled up on his leg. I mean, that wasn't a size thing. It's just an unfortunate thing. It's almost kind of similar to Shaq Thompson. It just got rolled up the back of your leg.
True.
But let's talk about this offensive line. We know they struggled with the false starts in Seattle. What's your thought about them in three games?
Not good enough. The false starts was one thing. You know, seven false starts on the offensive line is horrible. But beyond that, what we're not seeing, Langston, and I think you could point to this as much as any, as to why they're not winning. Remember last year when Wilkes was coaching and they had a real run-heavy approach the last half of the season, had a pounding back in Deontay Foreman, and Chuba Hubbard was playing well, and they just ran the heck out of the ball. Like in Seattle, they ran for 230 yards or something. This year, this week, they ran for 44. And that has been because of that, they have had not enough you know, it's been way too pass heavy. They're putting too much on the quarterback. Now, part of this is, of course, an injury to Austin Corbett, their guard, who might be their best offensive lineman right now. But that's everywhere. That's Seattle. You know how many Seattle offensive linemen are out? Austin Corbett is going to be back eventually, but he's out this week too.
Okay,
so Seattle had four offensive linemen out in that game. They're playing a full team of second stringers at the offense.
And they ran it down the Panthers' throats.
Exactly. Half. So you can't blame that. Again, to Mike Kay's point, that this team is somewhat top heavy. Mm-hmm. They've gotten into having to hit depth early in the you know, the second string, and it's just not really worked out yet for some of these second stringers who you hope would make a big impact, haven't really yet. And that includes the offensive line.
How much will Corbett help when he comes back? I know he's on the PUP list. He has to sit out at least four games. So, I mean, maybe he can come back week five, week six. How much would that help to get him back?
Well, it'll definitely help. He'll stabilize things. He's a veteran that just, you know, he's won a Super Bowl for the Rams. I mean, he's just a guy who's going to – you have him and Bozeman right next to each other. They're not going to miss a lot of offensive line calls. I think, honestly, that'd help Ickey Ekwonu sort of just take a deep breath, calm down. Ickey can play, but they're having trouble right now with some very basic football things. And I think Corbett returning will help that. And this team has got to be more, you know, 55% 40 pass, 45 run, not more like 70-30 or so, which is kind of what we've seen the first three games.
I asked Mike this question right after the Seattle game. Do you think that running is just more of a play call thing, at least early? We're deciding.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As coaches, that we're going to, you know, pass the ball more, or do you think it's something else?
Well, it partly is, you know, they've been behind in every game, and so that's just
they were leading this game. It was 3-0. They were up with the ball.
True, and they've led. You know, they led at one point in the third quarter in the New Orleans game. But what's happened is that fourth quarter they've, you know, probably thrown the ball 20 times and run the ball once in most of these last games. So early on, it has been a little bit more 50-50. But yeah, it's a play calling thing, sure. But also when you're beating your head against the wall and it's always second and nine after you call a run, I don't blame them for trying to, you know, getting away from it some, because you know who I'm a little disappointed in, Langston? Miles Sanders. Had a big time year last year in Philadelphia and came in here with the idea that he was going to touch the ball 25 times a game, kind of be a poor man's Christian McCaffrey. We have not seen that yet. He did score in the last game, had a tough run and maybe one other good run, but he's not been dynamic in the way that they need him to be dynamic.
Okay. Let's talk about some bright spots, Scott. We talked about some lower cloudier things with the Panthers. The clouds are a little gray. I thought DJ Chark had some nice moments in Seattle. The touchdown catch, obviously, he almost had a phenomenal play on a over-the-top situation. Adam Thielen, 11 catches, I think 145 yards, had 7 catches the week before that. The receiver, those two receivers are starting to separate themselves a little bit from everybody else, yes?
For sure. Those are two of the bright spots. I would agree with you. Chark's percentages weren't great. Like, he got thrown to 11 times and caught four, but the four were really, really good. They'll take that if one of those four is a 47-yard touchdown, and he made a grab on the sideline that was just big time. Yeah. 28 yards, I think, on that. Thielen has emerged as sort of this team's Greg Olsen. He is not going to beat somebody for a 70-yard touchdown. However, third and seven, you throw it to him because, oh, his hands are good. Man, so 11 catches. I wrote a column about him this week about, that's a guy who both Bryce Young and Andy Dalton, whoever's playing, that is really emerged as the number one choice to throw the ball to. And then Chark has sort of emerged as a big play threat. They need a third guy to, you know, Terrace Marshall, again, has been a disappointment. The tight end position, not doing well.
I was going to say, Hayden Hurst is not even being targeted very much.
No, he caught a touchdown.
Open, It's hard to see on television.
Hard to see, but no, I don't see him open that often. You know, he did have an early, I guess he had the first touchdown Bryce threw, but other than that, really not much there. Ian Thomas, I mean, we know from past seasons, he's not going to be targeted much. He's more of a blocking tight end. But, yeah, bright spots, I would say, you know, they're starting to throw the ball. They'll be able to throw it probably against Minnesota, too. I anticipate that's going to be a fairly high-scoring game on Sunday. And, you know, a guy that we've kind of don't mention much because they haven't won games, but Eddie Pinheiro has been a heck of a
field goal. I was just about to say Eddie Pinheiro has been good.
Yeah. I mean, he missed one finally, but it was what, like
55 yards. That would have been his career high.
And otherwise, he's made like, you know, the last 26 or something.
He's been money.
He is absolutely money. Kicker Brian Burns has had a couple of big plays. Frankie Louvu, until he went out, I thought it's been you know, a strong player for them as well. So there are some players on this team. I mean, you see it every week when they're in the game. I mean, they led this game at halftime, the last game. They've been in the game for three quarters, all three of their games. So it's not Chicago, you know, where it's just an absolute dumpster fire. That's not what you have here yet. There are some bright spots. They might win this week. But
is that an early prediction?
Got to get a bunch of things fixed. No, I'm not going to pick the Panthers in our little poll until they win a game. I'm picking against them every single week. And I want them to prove me wrong. And they will eventually. But the reason I'm leading our little predictions right now is because I've seen a ton of Panthers games, and I know you do not go broke picking the Panthers to lose. Not that we put any money on it, Langston. It's just for fun. But I'm just saying, ever since, and I won't say it's always that way. I mean, obviously, it wasn't that way in 2015. But the last 5 years, kind of being pessimistic and being pleasantly surprised when they do well is probably the safest course of action for Panther fans and Panther beat writers and columnists.
All right, I want you to take your Scott Fowler hat off right now. I want you to put your Scott Fitterer hat on. The NFL trade deadline is not too far away. You got a really big-time trade asset wearing number 0 on your defense. Would you consider trading Brian Burns?
I would absolutely consider trading Brian Burns. It's something that once, you know, let's say the trade deadline, like you say, is about 3 weeks. And what if they're 1-5 or 0-6 at that point? Mm-hmm. You know, you're not making the playoffs. And you also have made it clear that you don't want to pay Brian Burns preeminent money, like make him the top paid edge rusher in the NFL or anything, or else you would have already done it. So you have to think about that, because as great as he is, they're still losing games, and they need a first round pick in 2024, as you and I were talking about off air. Right now, they, you know, their pick went to Chicago, and shoot, that pick may be number 3 or something by the time the season's all over. I mean, they end up 3-14 or something. So,
oh my God, don't say that. Don't say 3-14.
I know. You just got to consider these possibilities now. For 7-10, that pick is not as valuable. But in any case, and I'll tell you a quick story, Langston, because our names are so similar, Scott Fitterer and Scott Fowler, I get texts for Fitterer occasionally from various Panther-oriented people. And I haven't done anything devilish with them, but I'll get a text from, I won't mention him, but a certain beat writer, not for our paper, that covers the Panthers, will text me occasionally and say, are you considering trading so-and-so? And, you know, instead, I could say, yeah, absolutely. You can write that. Go ahead. It's coming tomorrow. But I don't. I just let them, you know, in people's phones, there's a lot of Scott F's. But, yeah, you got to consider every deal. And Scott Fitterer will. Because he knows that this is a rebuild, and a 2-year rebuild is an optimistic way to look at it. It may be longer than that, but at the least, I think we're pretty clear right now. They're not going to win the NFC South unless they just make a hellacious run. So
it would take a big run.
It would take, you know, they're, you know, everyone lost in the NFC South this week. So they're only two games down, but they have shown no signs of a team that's going to have a winning record yet, you know, which is what you'll need. So you got to consider trading Burns. You got to consider any offer that you're going to get. Now, whether they do it or not, I don't know, but I'm sure it'll be in play.
Let's talk about the Panthers' schedule. When do you see that first win? The Vikings haven't won. They're coming up Sunday. Then they play the Lions, and then they play the Dolphins, who scored 9,000 points this past week. And then they have a bye, then they play the Texans. I think the Texans look like a really good game to try to get, but can they get Vikings, Lions, or Dolphins ahead of time?
I mean, out of Minnesota and Detroit, they may well win one of those two. I don't think they're not going to beat Miami in Miami. That offense is it's just too much right now.
Robert Griffin says it's generational.
Yeah, well, 70 points, I mean, is a good argument for that. We'll see. I mean, they have to keep it going. You know, sometimes Miami has been has flashed, and then, you know, at the end of the season, yeah, they're going to, you know, when they're playing cold weather games, they're not as good. But wow, yeah, they've got it going on right now. So that'll be a fun game, but I don't see that as a win. But, you know, Minnesota at home, I mean, like I say, I'm going to pick against them just because that's just the way I'm going to do it. But I can see them win that.
Yeah. The Vikings score 69 points in three games. That's a winnable game.
Yeah, it is. They're 0-3. I mean, they're they've had some coaching issues. You know, some they might should have won this past weekend. Detroit, I don't think is that great either. I mean, so I think out of those two, they, you know, they might get 2-1.
Yeah, they've only scored 72 points all year. But yeah, so I mean, that's a winnable game. I definitely think the Texans game looks like, if I was like going to bet, you know, a serious, I don't bet, but I was gonna bet a serious amount of money for when that game comes. But I may have to adopt your position on the picks. I'm not doing well on the picks and just go against the Panthers until they win. But Scott, thanks for joining us this week, man, on Processing Blues. For always fun talking to you, giving the fans the insight to the team. If you watch us on YouTube, make sure you hit that bell, make sure you like, subscribe, share, or wherever you're following us, and come back next week.
Thanks, Langston. It's always a pleasure.
Absolutely.